Hello and welcome to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer, a series featuring conversations with experts to share recent market developments, key insights, and strategic inputs from around the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Beyond Markets podcast and our third and final episode of the How You Manage Money series, or rather how we manage money here at Julius Baer. We've covered everything from why you should have a good investment approach to how to build a good solid portfolio. But today is the big one. It's all about performance and risk. Joining me as ever, we have Yves Bonzon, Julius Baer's Group Chief Investment Officer and the author of the original How We Manage Money series, which is now available in full on the Julius Baer website. It's the final episode, Yves. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Anna.
Now, this is a topic of conversation I'm pretty sure that, you know, most investors and clients really care about performance, but rightly so. Performance is key.
Absolutely. The problem is to analyze and assess performance with the adequate angle and tools.
Okay, so is it just about always getting the best performance from your investments? And how much of it is just simply avoiding bad performance?
The key is to avoid permanent losses. Temporary drawdowns in a diversified portfolio of liquid assets are not only normal, but actually healthy. You get a good return in the medium and long term because you're compensated for the risk that you accept in the short run. So volatility is perfectly normal within certain boundaries. The second aspect that is often very poorly understood is that for most investors, and in particular in liquid market, this is all about relative performance. Some people believe they are in an absolute performance game. Some are. It's called hedge fund alternative investment. It carries much higher fees, 2 in 20 if you're lucky, because those who truly produce non-market dependent returns that are in this absolute performance game, they actually often charge more than 2 in 20%.
What do you mean? What do you mean 2 and 20%?
2% fixed and 20% of performance.
Ah, okay.
Some charge 3 and 30 or more. And by the way, most of them do that in a capacity constrained manner, therefore are most often closed to new investor rather than available. So it's a completely different game. For everyone else, investing is a relative performance game in the short term, and it will be an absolute performance game in the medium and long term. By the time the strategy that you follow will produce the intended consequences, positive performance.
How do you measure performance then as a CIO, and how should clients measure performance?
Yeah, so we measure it on a relative basis, relative to our benchmark in asset allocation and within the building blocks of our portfolio. And we also measure the performance on a relative basis versus our direct competitor and peers.
Do you worry about performance? Because really, you know, isn't performance the hallmark of a skilled manager?
Oh, absolutely. The problem is we're acting on a fiduciary basis. We manage money on behalf of other people. And of course, you have a commercial risk in that activity. The risk of being fired as a manager and losing the business, right? And this carry risk in its most extreme form is something that is present in every investment manager, professional investment manager's mind. You know? So there are things you can do when you manage your own money, which are more difficult to do when you manage money for other people. Let me give you an example. A few of the most successful legend hedge fund manager of the last 2 or 3 decades made a decision last decade to return third-party assets, external investors' money, to investor and move to a purely internal family office-type investment organization.
So just managing their own?
Just managing their own money. Same manager, you know, same experience, same skill set. The performance outcome is day and night, you know. This obsession about managing the short term, avoiding drawdown, that is very, very acute in the hedge fund industry, because supposedly you're in the risk mitigation absolute performance game, right? Completely kills return. The moment their risk-taking capacity is disinhibited because it's their own money and they bear the responsibility and the consequences of what they do, and they don't have to explain every month or every quarter why the market went up or down and why they are up more or less than the market, immediately performance improves. And the point I'm getting at is you cannot judge the performance of even those investors with the greatest track record in the short term. The best manager can look spectacularly stupid in the short term and be massively right in the long term.
So that's your philosophy, to be right in the long term.
Well, it's always a balance. You know, we have to stay in business because being right alone is not exactly the idea. But we, in this respect, try to balance these risks, you know, acting in the most professional manner in the best interest of your client. So we need some volatility. We need some risk budget within affordable magnitude.
How do you then measure your own success as a CIO? Is that through the performance or is it something else?
Oh, there's a variety of measures. We measure our portfolio against peer groups, you know. It's not so easy in wealth management, you know. In asset management, products are categorized by asset classes, strategies, etc. So they compare directly against each other. In wealth management, you have some client-specific requirements. You have a variety of, we mentioned in a previous edition, suitability, tax angle, etc. So it's a bit different. But we do have some solutions where we're comparing apples with apples. You know, for instance, the Julius Baer strategy funds are directly comparables with their peers implemented in similar fund formats, UCITS, which are all subject to the same rules and regulations and tax and suitability constraints. Therefore, we have some data points where we can measure in a fair and objective manner your investment track record relative to peers. It's easier for us, of course, in pure building blocks when we manage equities or when we manage fixed income, for instance, in the JB funds or in individual clients' accounts. There we have a very objective, indisputable performance comparisons.
So in the last episode, we talked about your strategic asset allocation, your tactical asset allocation. We're talking about, you know, performance today. Can you hedge to protect that performance?
No, we don't hedge to protect performance. We hedge if we believe markets are at risk. And we have to have substantial reasons to believe this. It's the four market regime approach. We hedge risk in portfolio to various degree if we have that evidence. If we don't, we stay the course along our strategic allocation objectives and we focus on managing the respective asset classes and very critical, extremely strong portfolio construction. And I'd like to say a word about this. The sum of the part is more important than the individual parts in a portfolio. If you look at the track record, and there have been some empirical studies on the topic. For instance, let's take probably one of the most competitive markets, one of the benchmark that is the hardest to match or beat with an active investment approach. Obviously, U.S. large cap equities, best illustrated by the S&P 500 index. Statistics show that on average, over a 10-year rolling period, 10% of mutual fund outperform the S&P 500, 1 out of 10. The additional problem is, by the way, the next 10-year period, it's also 10%, but not the same. And the next period, it's also 10%, but those of the previous periods have retired, so you don't know if there will be stability in the performance track record. Jokes apart, interesting is to analyze how that performance was produced. Analyze the profit and loss of those mutual funds. And the remarkable finding of those studies is that the hit ratio of those managers is close to 50%. Meaning, essentially, when they buy a stock, it's like flipping a coin. 50% of the time they're right, 50% of the time. So people would then ask, how come they beat the market being right only 50% of the time? Yeah, they beat the market because they have asymmetry in their return. In other words, the winning trades win more than the losing trade lose. And it is that asymmetry that creates the excess return over time.
So this is what we said at the beginning, you know, reaping the rewards in the good times and avoiding losing in the bad times.
And this is, and that's the critical point, this is all about portfolio construction. Typically, you know, our client who have an advisory contract with us, they have, in my opinion, a tendency to spend hours discussing with their favorite investment coach or advisor, single name, single instrument, single fund. They should spend far more time discussing the portfolio globally and its construction. Is it well built? Is it well diversified? Is it robust? In case of shocks, our portfolio engineering team can help stress test a portfolio. They should spend far more time discussing this and much less time discussing the individual lines in the portfolio. By the way, in our very successful large cap global equity strategy, we do buy stocks on which, guess what, Anna, we have absolutely no view whatsoever on these names. We add them to the portfolio because the risk engine tells us when you add them, portfolio construction is more robust.
Okay, you mentioned risk, and that's great because you wrote that a majority of expected returns are generated by harvesting the risk premia of the asset classes that make up the portfolio. So is risk more, if not equal, to performance when you look at a portfolio?
Well, I think,
is it just as important?
No, I think, first of all, it's pretty obvious that the source of return will be the risk premia. I think there's one commonly accepted fact in the investor community. Globally, the collective performance of the investor community is the market performance. And for every dollar of excess return that you capture, somebody else must be willing to lose $1. Okay? So you don't want to sit at that table and be the patsy who is subsidizing excess return for others. And this requires a very structured investment process, a lot of discipline. And you know, it's like yoga, gymnastics, or other artistic activities. It takes a lot of brain training to get to that level of discipline. And because managing money is always that subtle mix of art and science, you know, you don't want to be completely psycho-rigid, you know, and stubborn. So that's why some managers are so successful at managing money, very few ones, that because they have that unique ability to be disciplined but flexible when need be.
All right, so what should investors consider when hiring a manager? We've kind of gone through what our investment process is, but from the other side, what should clients be looking for?
I would argue two things. First of all, nobody will show you a bad track record. So the track record is a good thing, but it's just one element in the decision. More important is how that track record was produced. We were once looking at a very successful hedge fund manager, and detailed analysis of the track record revealed that one stock decision contributed since inception more than 100% of the total return of the fund since the beginning. In other words, everything else that was done in the portfolio didn't detract or added. But he got one decision right. What are the implications going forward? You invest in this fund. You're betting that for the next 10 years, he's going to find that second stocks that will outperform massively and compensate for everything else, you know. So this is an extreme example, real one, that illustrates that you need to understand how diversified the source of returns are. It's great to look at the track record, but frankly, it's meaningless in isolation. You need to understand how it was produced. And therefore, you hire an investment manager, but you essentially hire an investment process. And if you don't understand how that investment process works, what are the choices? And by the way, there is no one single universal recipe that is best than all others' recipe. So you have to make a choice, you know, what type of approach you want to have. But you need to understand the merits, strengths, and weaknesses of that approach. And you need to understand when the approach works and when it doesn't work. Because sometimes returns are disappointing in the short term for the exact right reason. So the typical example, you know, you hire a value manager because you want to have some value equity strategy in your asset allocation. We have a growth stock market leadership for a while. You have to compare the guy against other value manager and value indices. If you compare the performance of a value manager against growth manager when growth is leading, you're going to make counterproductive decisions and fire the manager, usually shortly before the market regime shifts back to value.
Okay. All right. Well, you've made a perfect case of why the investment process is so crucial. And we spent 3 episodes really delving into the Julius Baer investment process. Eve, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you, Anna.
And thank you as well to everybody for listening. Remember, we are on YouTube. Julius Baer, please like and subscribe. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, just subscribe to listen. And we'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. To learn more about Julius Baer, our people, our latest thinking, visit us at www.juliusbaer.com. We will be back with a brand new episode soon. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliusbaer.com/legal/podcasts for further important legal information.